Next week, we're going to be resuming our study in 1 Corinthians. The 12th and 13th verses of that chapter are going to be talking about the baptism of the Spirit. And I did not want to confuse those two things today. We witnessed the water baptism, a step of obedience in the believer's life. And next week, when we resume our study in Corinthians, we're going to get really into that Spirit baptism and understand why God gives us gifts so that we can serve Him. So today I want to talk about the step of obedience that we just saw. And that is a wonderful service to be able to witness. I just love it when people say, you know what, I want to be identified with Christ and step into the waters of baptism, even when they're cold. You know, what a sacrifice that is. So let's pray and ask God to bless as we look in His Word this morning. Father, I pray today that as we open Your Word, as we study, that we would be enlightened, we would be encouraged. There might be some here today that, first of all, have never received Jesus as their Savior. And we pray that today might be the day where they were having that opportunity to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. There might be some believers here that have never walked into the waters of baptism. And today might be an encouragement to them that they saw other brothers and sisters in Christ that walked into the waters of baptism, and maybe today would be a day where they make that decision. And Father, I pray that as we open Your Word, teach us, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a look with me, if you will, please, at Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. The early church, the very beginnings of the church, were given a command to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord. People who came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior then immediately followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And we're going to read from the text today that we see as the beginning of the local church there in Jerusalem. But listen in verse 41 and 42 of Acts chapter 2. It says, "Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "I will build my church." Events that followed that statement would seem to threaten that promise. Men forsook Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. His enemies captured him. He was beaten. He stood trial. He suffered the agony of the cross. He died. He was buried. All things seemed to contradict his promise. But we know that in 3 days, Jesus rose triumphantly. Amen? And He rose from the grave, redeemed by His blood and empowered by His resurrection. The church would come to life just as He promised. On the day of Pentecost, the church would have its beginning, and Jesus' promise would be fulfilled after all. The church has been given two ordinances, or commands to follow, things that we should continue to practice. That is baptism and communion. Now, last Sunday, if you were here, we celebrated communion, or the Lord's table. Communion has been given to the church to symbolize fellowship. It is a repeated act that the church participates in regularly to show our communion with the Lord. That's why we do it as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup. We're showing the Lord's death till He comes, but it is a symbol of our fellowship with Christ. Today in our church, we celebrated the ordinance of baptism. Now, baptism is different than communion because it symbolizes our relationship with Jesus Christ. So therefore, it is a one-time deal. It's not repeated. It's not something we do over and over again. It's a one-time shot because we're saved one time. The only scenario that I can think of that someone would be baptized, and I'm going to use this in air quotes again, would be if they were baptized as a baby or if they were baptized before they truly trusted Christ as their Savior. And so we don't call that a rebaptism. We call that being baptized the right way. Following the Lord in believer's baptism. All right? Let's consider, first of all, the importance of baptism. Why is it so important? In the gospel accounts, if you were to read the book of Matthew, for instance, Mark, Luke, and John all talk about Jesus' early ministry. And one of the very first things that he did when he began his ministry was he was baptized. The Bible would tell you about John the Baptist, who was preaching the message of repentance. When someone would repent of their sin, then John would baptize them. One day, Jesus came to John to be baptized by him. Jesus did not need to confess any sin, did he? He was sinless. But Jesus wanted John to baptize him, and Jesus said to John, to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, to set an example of those who would follow him in believers' baptism. Jesus would identify with sinners by being baptized by John. See, Jesus didn't think, you know, I'm sinless. I don't really need to do this, so you all have to do this. Jesus literally humbled himself and walked into the waters of baptism and identified with you and me, sinners, and he was baptized by John. Now listen, when a sinner repents of his sin and places his faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, that new believer should follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We find in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, that baptism is literally a command of the Scripture, one of Christ's commands. It says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, and notice, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He would go on to teach them that part of the commission that he gave his disciples before Jesus ascended into heaven is he would tell them in verse 20 that you're to teach them, these new believers, to observe all things that I commanded. Now, how many of you have favorite passages in the Bible? We all do, don't we? So do you, I'm not setting you up for anything. Are there some favorite commands that you follow? Are there some commands that you think, you know, that's probably for some other people, right? And so we can't walk away from the command to be baptized, can we? So if you are a believer and you've never been baptized, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism by your obedience. Now let's just take a couple of minutes to think through the book of Acts. This is really the beginnings of the church and how all of these things are starting. But we would read how those who heard Peter's message in Acts chapter 2 and would respond by faith. It says in verse 41, those who gladly received his word. That means that they accepted what Peter was telling, even though it cut them to the heart. You read that earlier in the passage of Acts 2. It tells us that they were convicted by the words, by the Holy Spirit of God. But they received the word of God. And because they received the word of God, it says, and they were baptized. So they followed this obedient step. And this pattern would follow throughout, not just the New Testament, but it would also be passed along to even local churches in the year 2022. We just witnessed the obedient step of believers walking into the waters of baptism. Think about Acts chapter 8 and verse 2. When Philip was preaching, it says, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, it says in that text, both men and women We're baptized, so it's not just a girl thing, as you witnessed today. There are men who need to take a stand and be baptized. If you are a believer, you need to identify with Christ in the waters of baptism as well. We find in Acts chapter 9, in these verses are talking about when Saul, who was the persecutor, met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Saul then says that he was confronted with his sin, and he repented of his sin and received Jesus as his Savior. And the text says in verse 18 that after Ananias came to see him, it says that Saul rose, and he was baptized. He identified with his new Savior. We read that also in Acts chapter 10, in verses 47 to 48. This is when Peter goes to the house of Cornelius, the Italian, and he's talking to him about the things of Christ. It took a little bit of finagling in Peter's life to get him to go there, right? If you're familiar with the text. But Peter finally obediently goes and talks to these people. And Cornelius and his household repented of their sin and received Jesus Christ. And Peter asks the question, can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized? And later it tells us that Peter commanded them to be baptized. So we see these examples in the book of Acts as people who are getting saved, receiving Jesus as their Savior, and then the next act that they do is they go into the waters of baptism and are baptized. And so it is something that is a natural flow of a believer's life. Now, I have an old book in my library by William Pardee on baptism, just about baptism. And William Pardee writes this. He goes, baptism was never considered a matter of personal choice. Let's just stop and think about that for a second. Hey, would you like to be baptized? Well, I'm kind of a, I don't really know. And we make a decision. Kind of almost like when you're at Chick-fil-A and they ask you if you want the peach shake. Yes. But you have to remember that if I add the peach shake along with the waffle fries and everything else you get, then you might not fit in your car. So you probably have to say no. It's a personal choice, right? And you don't want to make those kinds of choices often, but you have to. But baptism is not one of those. Baptism is a command of Jesus. And it's not something that we can say, well, you know, if it's convenient or maybe later or whatever. I have literally witnessed people who are afraid of water being baptized. One memorable one was when I was a child, I was just awestruck with this fight that was going on in the baptismal tank, but it finally happened and they were finally immersed and Jesus won. So it's not a matter of our personal choice. He says, baptism was the first step of obedience following their conversion, and it is a sign of their submission to the Lord. And that's the way we ought to be looking at this. Instead of saying, you know, would you like to be baptized? And you say, let me think about that. It should be, you need to be baptized. And you just say, all right, let's do it. Thank you, Paul. Amen, right. That's right. All right, so since baptism is so important, who should be baptized? It leads us to the subjects of baptism. You know, we referred to earlier about infants or those who were unsaved. You know, baptism isn't something that's cute or, you know, and there's a lot of organizations that baptize people that I believe, first of all, that it's an ordinance of the local church. You know, the local church has the right to baptize people. If you're going off to camp, for instance, and they baptize you in the river, that's not their job. Their job is to teach the Word of God, even lead people to Jesus. But baptism is really a rite and ordinance of the local church. So not to say that the church can't go to the camp or, you know, our daughter's church, when they were getting started, they used to go to the public pool. Wouldn't that be kind of cool? What a great testimony that would be, right? As they're giving a testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ, there's people that are on the sides going, what are they doing? You know, and they're getting to learn about why people are actually getting plunged into the water. Disciples of Christ are to be baptized, those who are saved. That's what they're baptism was reserved for. We read in Acts 2:41 that those who gladly received his word, they were baptized. We looked at a couple of passages earlier. We thought about Acts chapter 8, you know, when Philip was preaching, when those who believed were baptized, right? We have another one. You've heard of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. Remember, the chains were broken off of the Paul and Silas, and the doors were opened in the prison. And the Philippian jailer came in and says, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he was baptized. So it makes it clear, even in the Great Commission that we read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, that Jesus said, not only make disciples, but those disciples should be baptized. And so what we learn from Scripture is those who place their faith and trust in Jesus for salvation should be baptized. In fact, I would like to state this. If you do your Bible study and you look through the New Testament, I challenge you to find one believer who was led to Christ that did not get baptized in the New Testament. I'll cut you a little slack. You won't find it. Because all the believers who trusted Christ as their Savior were baptized. And so they were obedient to the Lord, and we follow that same pattern, don't we? So we need to understand the importance of it and the subjects of it, and then also we want to also think about this. Only believers should be baptized. Lewis Sperry Schaefer wrote in his Systematic Theology about baptism, he said, "Baptism is an outward sign or a symbol of something of an inward reality." In other words, baptism doesn't save you, does it? Baptism just tells everybody, look, I'm saved, and I'm identifying with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I'm identifying with him. And that's what we lead to this next part about the significance of baptism. It is really all about identifying with Jesus. Why do we go into the water? Why do we submerge people into water and take them out of the water? They're wet, they're today very cold, you know, my feet are finally starting to warm up a little bit. But the idea here is that we're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When the subject is in the water, they're in the water, they're standing there. It's kind of almost like a symbol of the cross, isn't it? And when that person is put under the water, it signifies the burial, that Jesus died for our sin. Praise the Lord, he rose again, amen? Because the church wouldn't be very big if we left him in the water. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we're identifying with his death, his burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 teaches how special baptism is. Paul states about baptism, he says, "We were baptized with him through baptism into death." We die to sin because Jesus paid the penalty. Amen? Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So baptism isn't just a thing where we put them in the water and take them out of the water. Oh, yay, great, good job. It's literally we're praying that that person, those people that are being baptized, now begin to walk the way that Jesus wants them to walk. They're identifying with Christ and that he died for my sin. He raised for me so that I could walk in newness of life. And that's what it signifies. Paul goes on to explain later in the fifth verse. He says, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. He lives for me who died for me. But he lives right now. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. John MacArthur wrote about Jesus' baptism in his commentary in Matthew. He says, the first act of his ministry, the first step in his redemptive plan that he came to fulfill, he who had no sin took his place among those who had no righteousness. Wow, just think about that. He who was without sin submitted to be a baptism for sinners. Jesus was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing. When a believer is obedient in the waters of baptism, they identify with Christ, symbolizing his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Somebody was there with a Polaroid, obviously, when Jesus was baptized. And they caught, it's too bad they didn't have a motion picture. We could have had a film there and heard the voice of God. But, well, let's think about the gospel account about Jesus' baptism for just a minute, shall we? We find Jesus in the water. He was in the water. Why do we immerse? Because if I sprinkled or I poured a little water on someone, it would not signify the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, would it? Because we go under the water, it shows that beautiful picture of the water in the form of the burial and then raising up out of the water in the form of the resurrection. We also find the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove that comes out of heaven and it literally lights on Jesus, lands on him, sits on him. And what we don't see in the picture here, because pictures are never the same. If you go visit Rocky Mountain National Park, you take a bunch of pictures of elk and they got their head out this way, you can't hear their bugling. You know, you have to be there. So you had to be here to see and hear this, right? But if you were there, you would have heard the voice of the Father. And I don't know what he would sound like, but I'm just going to, this is my beloved Son in whom I have well pleased. I don't know what God sounds like, but he was certainly proud that his Son, Jesus, not only went to the earth, gave up the glories of heaven, but was willing to identify with sinners by fulfilling all righteousness in the waters of baptism. And you can say, very truthfully, Jesus never asks you to do anything that he hasn't already done. So why not you? When Jesus became a man, he did not lose his divinity, did he? He was still God in every way. In his divinity, in his deity, he needed nothing. But in his humanity, he is seen here being anointed for service by God the Holy Spirit. God the Father was calling him to perform. And so when you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you please God also. It's an open confession of a relationship that you already have. Baptism doesn't save anyone, but it is an identifier with what you've already done. And when you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you are identifying with Jesus. When you identify with Jesus, it means that you are standing with him. The world might not stand with you, but you know what? There's one who will never leave you and never forsake you. He will always be with you. And when you do that, you please the Lord. If you're a believer, if you're a believer and you've not been baptized, maybe right now, maybe not literally right now, but you need to come and submit yourself to the believer's baptism. You need to get it set up. You need to say, you know what? I've been waiting way too long. It would surprise you the age of some people who finally say, you know, I'm ready. The lady that I was referring to back in the day where she said she was deathly afraid of water, she was in her 80s, but she submitted finally to believer's baptism. If you're here today and you've never been baptized, you should. But listen, if you have been baptized, you need to rejoice. Wasn't it great to see people who still follow the Lord in believer's baptism? It's a wonderful thing. You know, we need to pray for these people, and we need to pray for ourselves and others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would also walk in newness of life. Because that's what we're signifying when we walk into the baptism water. We're signifying the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ so that we can walk in newness of life. And I want you to think about that step in your life, how important it is, how significant it is, and Jesus will be pleased with you. Father, we thank you today that we can witness these two ladies who were willing to step into the waters of baptism, both of them giving testimony of God's goodness in their lives, how he saved them, how he was there to meet some of very important needs of their lives, walking through some difficult moments in their lives, that God, you were there for them. And it was easy for them to step into the waters of baptism because you loved them enough to die for them and save them. So I pray that, Lord, that we would just be thankful for that and rejoice with them. And I pray today that if there's others who maybe do not know Jesus as their Savior, that today would be a day where they could come to Jesus, receive your gift of salvation, and become a child of God. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning,